Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Go to Aditi Kekabwala. Joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Speaking of streets paved with gold, hello, Aditi.
Good morning. I don't know anything about streets paved with gold.
I don't know either. I just decided to make a transition.
You thought
and away
that was
we
a
go.
Good transition?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell are you going to do?
Yeah, it fell flat. Sorry.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Aditi, we've seen...
Yeah, it's always worth trying.
I want to know, over time, you've certainly seen the Steelers get booed, their offense get booed at home. And that happened this week. There was some booing of the offense, maybe Stefanski, certainly Baker. And he had to answer questions about it a day later. Do you have a problem when that goes down? Does Baker have a point?
I mean, I can see it both ways, right? These are paying customers who have an expectation, and isn't it their right to sort of demand a certain level of accountability or standard or level? But then the flip side to that is, do you think that that's helping the situation? If you are so loyal to your team and you so love these players and you so love this laundry, do you think that the men in uniform perform better if you boo them? So I don't really – it's so interesting that you say this, Lima, because yesterday I had this big conversation with your friends Pony and Mueller about how Steelers fans just don't hold the organization accountable in any way. They are just so unbelievably loyal. They never question any move that the front office makes. They don't question anything that the head coach does. And if you do – oh boy, are you in trouble because you are the enemy. So that's not necessarily the right answer either. I just don't know that on game day, in the midst of the fire, when your team that you are desperately rooting for needs a first down, that booing that team on third down makes sense.
Aditi Kekabwala
joining
us.
And I think it's also a valid point. Wait, hold on. Let me say one more thing.
Oh.
I also think it's valid when Baker says, why are you making noise when the offense is on the field?
You're taking his side?
You think it's okay for the home team, for the home crowd?
I don't think they make a bunch of
noise
when they're on the field.
Your offense is trying to operate.
I don't notice they making a bunch of noise when they're on the field, do we? Do we notice this? Tone?
I mean, I thought Kevin Stefanski said, yes, it happened. I wasn't there, okay? So let's be fair. I wasn't in the building, obviously, on Sunday. So I don't know myself. But I thought Kevin Stefanski said, yes, he did hear that noise on third down.
For them, they heard the noise on third down. When they were on third down, they heard the noise.
Isn't that what Baker is saying?
I guess. I have no idea. I just thought it was a silly comment, to be honest with you. And I think fans can boo anything they want to if they want to boo. It's their version of a pep talk. You can't go down there on the sidelines and say, hey, get your head out of your ass and stop committing pre-snap penalties. You're better than this. So they say, boo. That's what they do. They're allowed to do it. It's pro football. Pro sports.
Okay. I mean, look, you're paying for your experience to be there. And if that's what you want to do, and NFL tickets are not cheap, if you want to spend that kind of money and what brings you joy is booing, then I don't really know that anybody has a right to say no. I'm just saying I don't know if it's as constructive or as effective.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever said booing. Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever said that booing has actually helped the product on the field, but we understand that fans do it around the country. It's not unique to Cleveland, certainly. Baker wasn't happy about it. I'm sure his teammates weren't happy about it.
Well, no, and to your point, I mean, everybody gets booed at home at some point. And you're right, the Steelers have been booed this year at home.
Somebody told me
this year, but many times. Go ahead.
Someone told me that here, and there. It's actually several people are saying they were actually chanting "Chubb, Chubb, Chubb on third down because they wanted them to give the ball to Nick Chubb.
Well,
I believe that. I actually believe that.
I'm standing on a Super Bowl field in Arizona, standing next to the Seattle bench, when the entire Seattle bench was screaming, feed the beast, feed the beast, feed the beast. Not just the fans, the players. And Pete Carroll made the decision to throw the ball. We all know how that ended. So definitely advocate for calling for the play that you think would make a difference.
One time I was on the sidelines for an Akron game, and they were playing Temple, and Temple started running up the score, and the whole sideline started chanting, pound that meat. They did it for an entire quarter. That was a pretty bizarre moment. Aditi Kinkabwala joining us here on the show. So, you know, what is it? Is it, you know, this kind of turns into a little bit of a chicken or the egg type of thing here, Aditi, because, like, he's hurt. I know he's playing hurt. And I got fans who say, that's not an excuse. You can't do that. Oh, okay. Hold on. Kevin Stefanski's the coach. He decides every Sunday who's playing. He decides who makes the team, he and Andrew Berry. They can't decide to sit Baker Mayfield because of the injury?
Ultimately, they could if they felt that he didn't give them the best chance to win. And that's the piece here, is that, like, why would Kevin Stefanski's job, Andrew Berry's job, their families, their entire livelihoods, the food that their children eat, everything depends on the decisions that they make and their ability to win football games. So this is the piece that's so crazy. Why does anybody think that some player is going to override the decision that those men make? There must be some very, 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 very valid reason. They're not just doing it to be nice to Baker. They're not just doing it because they don't want Baker coming in their office and F-bombing them. They clearly think that Baker is the one that gives them the best chance to win. Because at the end of the day, no matter how nice of a guy you are, how, you know, whatever people think of you, you have to win. Why would they make a decision that didn't help them win? Which is exactly what you heard.
I don't know. I mean, he played on Sunday, and we had a great big controversy all week about whether or not he should play. And I don't know, the Browns won 13-10, and all we can discuss is how Baker got upset with the fans, basically did a heel turn on the fans.
And they won in spite of him.
Didn't want to talk to the media, and
okay,
he was upset with his performance.
So much of that is the nature of fandom, too. And we've talked about this a lot. I mean, over the last few years, I've said, especially about Brown fans, who I feel very, 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 very fairly have a little bit of PTSD and are a little bit too nervous about just leaning in and enjoying that there's always kind of this nervousness. Okay, but with everything, was it pretty? No, but it was a W. Was the Ravens win pretty? No, but it was a W.
But this is their
problem. At the end of the day, a W is a W is a W.
I don't think to a lot of fans it is, as much as I wanted it to be. And I for the team it is. And I think in 4 weeks, you'll look at the regular season and you'll have other problems or we'll have other things that are good. But in the moment, you know, I think a lot of these fans have defended Baker Mayfield to the national media. I think they've defended Baker Mayfield to fans in Cincinnati, in Pittsburgh, and certainly in Baltimore. And they feel a little bit angry about this right now, that they want him to play well and they might have voiced their opinion and they might be upset with Kevin Stefanski for not giving the ball to Nick Chubb. And they were upset with the turnovers. They were upset with the high throws. They were upset that they defended him and took Baker Mayfield's side in this whole OBJ fiasco. And now all of a sudden, he's calling them out. I think that there's a lot of fans, and we've taken those calls, who are pretty upset with that this morning.
I think I think it's very fair to feel that way. And I do think that when a player goes after the fans, it's just not a recipe for success, because again, you are there because of the fans. It's the fans that pay your paycheck, that pay my paycheck, that pay yours, Ken. I mean, without them, we are not here. So I get that piece of it. There's a whole series of things here. Kevin Stefanski, can you trust what he's telling you when he says, if I don't think Baker gives us the best chance to win, then I'm not going to play him? Can we trust him saying that? What other possible explanation?
Well, you know what?
Realm of possibility that he would play him if he thinks that Case actually gives them a better chance to win.
But Aditi, on Monday, I had to say this yesterday, that it was the first time that I was openly questioning, you know, this front office and this coaching staff, that they could arrive to that conclusion. Because it's one thing if you fail a numbers test. It's one thing if you fail a eye test. He's failing both right now. He's one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the league. We know he's injured. We know he's banged up. And then why is Case Keenum here, someone who's familiar with the offense, who has his limitations too, but he's played way better football at times in his career than what we're seeing out of Baker right now. And Baker's getting more and more injured every week.
Do you think that sometimes the way, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, do you think that sometimes the way to break out of a slump is to fight your way out of the slump as opposed to being sidelined? You know, this makes me think of, let's talk about another team in the division, the Bengals. I have ripped them over and over for not running the ball enough, that I think that that offense needs to run through Joe Mixon. And this week, I could not stop talking about it, that the only way you were going to keep that Raiders pass rush off of Joe Burrow was if you ran the ball. Well, in the first half, Zach Taylor did run the ball, and it wasn't so pretty. Joe Mixon was getting 2 yards, 3 yards, minus 2 yards, not getting anywhere. But those same yards, those same runs turned into 8, 11, 18 in the third and fourth quarter. They stuck with it, and eventually the run game got going. That's the same analogy I would use here, that I feel that if you were to ask me, the Browns organization knows that Baker Mayfield's ceiling, Baker Mayfield's potential is greater than Case Keenum. They know what Baker Mayfield is capable of and what he can do. Is he in a little bit of a slump right now? Is this offense in a little bit of a slump? Is there a little bit of a struggle? Yes. But is sitting on the sideline the best way to break out of it? Or is it to keep running the ball, to use the analogy? Is it to keep throwing him out there until it gets going? Especially when you know that Baker, like a Jarvis Landry, is a type of guy that one big play can get things going. So it's almost like, get that one play, make that one move, and all of a sudden, that can open the floodgates.
The last time we threw him out there, it was a heel injury. The time before we threw him out there, it was a knee injury. Like, the injuries are mounting and getting worse here. And if he were under normal circumstances, I don't think he'd be performing him. So now I'm wondering, is his confidence affected because he's trying to play through these injuries? And they're affecting his mechanics. He's leaving all these passes high. I think they're having an adverse effect. And my whole thing of it is you could beat the Lions with Case Keenum, because if you can't beat the worst team in the NFL with Case Keenum, why are we paying him $6 or $7 or whatever it is, $1 million a year to play him or to have him?
The Pittsburgh Steelers couldn't beat the Lions with their backup quarterback.
Because their backup quarterbacks are absolute garbage. They are garbage. Case Keenum's way better. Deshaun Watson, well, that one too. Dwayne Haskins is more interested in a trip to cheerleaders than it is in a trip to practice. And then you got Mason Rudolph, who will probably...
I got dragged. Hey, I spent a whole week being dragged.
And that's where I totally agreed. I disagree with you on this, but I totally agree with you on that, obviously, because I see through the BS, and you're seeing through the BS as well when it comes to that. And I felt terrible for you last week about that. I really did. But when I'm looking at last week, I'm going, man, we could have sat him again. He could have gotten healthy. And I need Baker Mayfield. I need the good quarterback at as close to 100% as he can be, possibly, to beat Baltimore, and now he's out there dragging himself back out there again on Sunday Night Football against Lamar Jackson. I'm nervous. I ain't gonna lie. I'm nervous about a banged-up Baker and what's gonna come if they lose that game.
These are very, very, very valid questions to put to the man making the decision, which is Kevin Stefanski. And we know that Stefanski is the best at sort of dancing around a question, filibustering a little bit, not necessarily telling us the ins and outs of it all, but I'm not in that room. You know, like sometimes I get to play like a fly in that room, or I get a little bit of insight, or I know something. But right now, in this particular moment, let me be as honest as I can be. I don't know the answer to that. And quite frankly, I haven't asked. I haven't gone to anybody and said, why Baker? Why? And I will. But I also think that that's a very fair question to ask this week. What is the rationale behind that? And I think that the one thing that you ask is, you have faith. If you believe in your organization that you root for, if you believe in these men, you have to have faith that there's some sort of a valid reason. We would all love to know the reason, so maybe we'll find it out this week.
What's Kareem Hunt going to add to the offense? Oh, sorry. You were going to say something.
Oh, I think a lot. I just think that, and this is not a knock on Dearness Johnson in any way. Kareem Hunt is one of the best backs in the league for a reason. And I love the punch of he and Nick Chubb. I think again, I mean, I made such a big deal of this on Sunday, and Ken, you know, run the damn ball. Mm-hmm. In this division, run the damn ball. Everybody looks better when you run the damn ball. Alex Van Pelt said it last week. This offense looks so much better. And, yes, Nick Chubb was great, and the Browns did run the ball, but when you've got two, when you've got a 1-2 punch like that, it changes so much. And I don't, you know, Lamar is sick. Lamar Jackson is sick every single week. I think he's got to change his diet. He's got to diversify his diet and eat better, more food, quite frankly. But I expect him to be fine. I think that he is one of the most electrifying players in the NFL. I just had this argument again yesterday with Pony and Muller here in Pittsburgh about who I like the best in the division. And, you know, they feel that the Ravens are skating too close to the edge. I feel that it's a statement on how well coached they are and how good of a team they are, that they can figure out how to gut out wins. Do I feel that they're dominant? Do I feel that they are, you know, really on a hot streak? No, but I think that right now when things are tough, they're figuring out how to win, and that counts for something. And I think that Lamar is just such an X factor that there's nobody else in the NFL like him. And if he gets going, I mean, come on, what did we see in Cleveland last year on that Monday night game?
I do think, and I know we got to wrap up here, but I know that I want Joe Woods to send blitzes, and I don't know if he's going to do that.
Well, here's where I am right now on this. And again, here's another point that I keep getting eviscerated on, but whatever, I don't care. I'm not worried about this. Sometimes I think the best defense is a really, really, really good, methodical, slow, soul-sucking offense.
Totally agree.
And what I mean by that is that 49ers Monday night game against the Rams, you take up the whole darn quarter to go all the way down the field. That offense is sitting on the bench, miserable, suddenly comes out and feels like it needs to score in like 30 seconds, which is never a good solution. And if the Browns can just bleed the Ravens, because that defense really isn't, I mean, the defense is not what we expect it to be. And Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb can just keep Lamar Jackson sidelined, and suddenly you're coming out there and you feel like you've sat for 15 minutes and you have to press. I like that. I do like that.
Didi, thank you very much for the time. You know, we love you. Have a wonderful, almost said wonderful, happy Thanksgiving. That would have been just double. Just have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, my friends. I miss you. Hope to see you soon.
We hope to see you as well. Didi Kinkabwala on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. She's so nice.
Man, we are getting a ton. Aditi is popping right now.
Cleveland, react
there
to
is,
us.
There is, it's like 50-50 on the tweets right now.
All right. Bobby Carpenter, 920. We'll talk Buckeyes with him. More of you guys next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.